You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatto. A little bit later in the hour, we're going to look at the invention of television as portrayed in a new Broadway play, The Farnsworth Invention. But up next, what if doctors could tell which teens and young adults at high risk for developing schizophrenia or other psychotic illnesses, what if they could tell which one of them are actually going to get sick before they've had a full-blown psychotic episode? Well, research suggests that earlier the doctors can identify and treat patients, the better off those patients are. They've also known that a number of risk factors, including a family history of psychotic illness, certain changes in perception and thinking, these all together, taken together, can predict a psychotic illness. And now a new study shows that if researchers look for these particular combinations of risk factors, they can predict with much more accuracy which teens will get sick. Very high, very good predictions, as you'll find out. We're going to talk about it with the researcher who is part of the panel of researchers out in this week's issue of the Archives of General Psychology. And joining us now to talk about it is one of the study's lead authors, Tyrone Cannon, who is the Staglin Family Professor of Psychology, Psychiatry, and Biobehavioral Sciences, and director of the Staglin Center for Cognitive Neuroscience at the University of California, L.A. He joins us today from L.A. Welcome to the program, Dr. Cannon.
Thank you, Ira. Happy to be here.
Yeah, thank you. Your paper looked at ways to predict the onset of psychotic illnesses. Give us an idea of what kind of illnesses we're talking about here.
Well, psychosis is a broad term that applies to symptoms of loss of touch with reality. And, you know, the most common examples of those are things like hallucinations, hearing voices, or delusions, having unusual beliefs about others' intentions and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. Those kinds of symptoms are quite prevalent in a disorder called schizophrenia, the diagnosis of schizophrenia, but they also appear sometimes in other conditions such as bipolar disorder, and major depression.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your study. What did you look for and what did you find that were the telling indicators that this could indeed lead to these illnesses in some of these people?
Well, the first, we did two things. The first thing was we were trying to verify whether a particular set of risk criteria that were used to diagnose a high-risk syndrome, which we call the psychosis prodrome, whether those were valid in terms of having a higher, you know, indicating mm-hmm. a group that had a high risk. And what we found is that young people who met those criteria over a 2.5-year period, 35% of them developed a full-blown psychotic illness. And the risk for doing so was highest within the first 12 months, and then gradually dropped off so that by about 2.5 years, the risk had declined substantially. So there was an interesting sort of deceleration in the risk for them converting to full-blown illness.
Mm-hmm. And what is the single best predictor of a full-blown illness?
Well, so that risk category itself ascertains 35% of the cases who develop full psychosis within 2.5 years. Within that group, we did additional analyses to see if we could refine the prediction, improve it even further by considering combinations of risk factors that were assessed at the baseline, things like, as you were noting in your introduction to the segment, family history of a major mental illness like schizophrenia or bipolar disorder, mm-hmm. Having a substantial decline in social, school, or occupational functioning in, you know, recently, like in the past 6 to 12 months, having higher levels of these unusual thoughts and perceptions that aren't yet of psychotic intensity but are certainly thought to be on a continuum with those kinds of symptoms.
And when you put all those factors together, you get a very good prediction.
You get, well, what you do is you ask 80% of the people who have those three factors at the same time develop psychosis within 2.5 years.
80%.
80%. And so now that isn't to say that everybody who developed psychosis had that profile mm-hmm. of risk factors. It's really to say that if you had that particular profile, then your risk was really high.
And what makes you think that, you know, if everybody who hears this is going to say, oh, you know, I hear voices every now and then, and I do this, and
yeah,
I have med student syndrome, you know. what's going to prevent everybody from thinking they have this? What?
Well, you know, I obviously when things like this are in the news, everybody kind of turns inward for a while and sort of gives himself a gut check. But symptoms like hearing a voice call your name, which is one of the early features that we found were quite common in this high risk group. When there's a very large segment of the population that reports that symptom mm-hmm. in complete isolation. So that is, they don't have the other things, the impaired functioning, or unusual thoughts, or a family history. Mm-hmm. So these, you know, obviously these kinds of syndromes are very complex and have lots of causes.
So is this study then an alert to doctors to be on the lookout to find these earlier so they can be treated?
Absolutely. We think the main immediate implication is that with these improved risk prediction criteria, essentially what we can do is target particular individuals for early intervention, particularly with psychological treatments that are designed to help the young person adapt to their changed mental abilities and mm-hmm. Succeed in school and stay somewhat connected with peers and their families, and then have a more intensive monitoring so that if they do develop full psychosis, then antipsychotic drug treatment could be initiated sooner than is typical in the general population. Mm-hmm. We have in general, we have a very long lag between when an individual develops full psychotic symptoms and they're coming to the attention of coming into medical treatment. And the research database suggests that the longer that time period that lapses in between, you know, onset and initial treatment, the worse the long-term outcome. So there's some evidence to suggest that if we can detect the onsets earlier, we can initiate treatment earlier and thereby improve the overall course.
Well, I want to thank you for taking time to talk with us, Dr. Cannon, and good luck to you and your research.
My pleasure.
Tyrone Cannon is a professor of psychology, psychiatry, and behavioral sciences and director of the Staglin Center for Cognitive Neuroscience at UCLA.